the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have got the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, your Weekend Warriors, Tony and Corey.
You know, Tony, there's a few things around the house when you're doing a remodel that I think are must-haves. So today, I think we should talk about kitchen must-haves and bathroom must-haves.
Well, those are two of the very prominent remodels that are done in homes today. There's a few more. There's a bedroom remodel, a closet remodel, but primarily bathrooms and kitchens are where it's at. The options are there.
When you go look at a house that you're potentially going to buy, the two biggest areas of the house that you say, "Ugh, that's dated," are the bathroom and the kitchen.
Absolutely.
Kitchen being number one, being big number one. You walk into a kitchen and it's got 1990s cabinetry, oak, you know what I mean?
Right.
You immediately say, remodel.
Right.
So that's what we're going to talk today about, some of the top things in any kitchen and bath remodel that you definitely should consider when you're planning
your next remodel. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's start in the kitchen, Tony.
Okay.
I would say the number one thing when looking at your kitchen is what's called a functional layout. You know what the kitchen triangle is, Tony?
I didn't before we talked about it, but fridge, oven, sink.
That's right. Fridge, oven, sink. Or fridge, stove, sink.
Right, right. Okay.
No. Oven or stove. You want those to be no more than, I think it's 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah, from each other. Yeah.
That's called an optimized kitchen, because those are the three things that you need to use all the time when you're meal prepping.
You got to be able to get to them all quickly, unobstructed.
That's right. So if you've got a kitchen that doesn't already have an optimized layout, now's the time.
Sure, yeah.
When you're starting that remodel, lay it out so that you have your stove, refrigerator, and sink in that optimized kitchen work triangle. And if you're getting it designed, the designer should know.
Absolutely.
That's probably the number one thing that they would do to fix up your kitchen.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I think a lot of times when we're remodeling spaces like that, what we're doing is we're trying to get maximum storage, or we're trying to get maximum counter space, or we're trying to get, you know, something like that, and maybe not considering usability of, you know, the actual portions of the kitchen.
Yeah, or you might have an oddly shaped room or an oddly shaped space that you're putting the kitchen into, or maybe expanding out. Shannon Quimby, her kitchen is kind of oddly shaped, and she had to stick her refrigerator kind of in the back corner.
Yeah, that's right.
So she doesn't really have an optimized kitchen work triangle, but it's kind of small enough where it doesn't matter that much, and she used what she could. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But given the opportunity, that's how you definitely want to set it up.
Yeah, that makes really good sense. I like that.
All right, Tony, what else we got in the kitchen that is a must-have?
The kitchen island.
Yes.
If you've heard Corey and I talk about the kitchen island, you've heard us say, I want a big island in my kitchen. Corey's got a huge island.
I know. When I got my island, I basically said, I want the largest slab I can get, one piece. That's the size of the island I want. Because I have a really large kitchen.
Right.
My kitchen, and it's almost like a kitchen slash living room combination.
Yeah.
And I had so much space, and the island they had in there before was really weird and small, had a curve in it. And when we tore that out, I said, give me the biggest island I can get, one slab. I didn't want any seams.
Right.
So yeah, the thing is like over 4 feet wide by over 8 foot long.
Yeah, it's a monster. It definitely is a monster. My kitchen, when I did my kitchen remodel, I have a very small, long, sort of skinny kitchen. And I wanted to add an island in mine, but I needed to do something that was very conservative in order to not crowd the space on either side of the room, right? You need to keep somewhere around 30 or 31 inches or 33 inches between countertops so you can move comfortably past somebody else in that space. And I was flirting with a space being too small. So you and I custom built a very small island. It's about 27 or 29 inches wide by about 72 inches long or so.
Right, right. And we actually made that thing portable.
Right.
It's kind of like a really tall table, really, with a piece of quartz on top. And it's sturdy.
It's very sturdy. And it's not tippy.
It's not tippy at all.
Yep.
And that works out perfect for you because given the opportunity, if you need to move it, you just pick it up and carry it out of the room.
Absolutely. I put little furniture padded furniture feet underneath the bottom so I can just slide it right across the hardwood floor.
Furniture feet.
Very easy. But it has been the best addition to my kitchen. Absolutely love that island still today.
Yeah. All right. Number three is actually one that you've already said. It's ample storage.
Mm-hmm.
Maximizing the space that you have, incorporating cabinets that reach to the ceiling, pull out pantry shelves, deep drawers for pots and pans, and built-in organizers for spices and utensils. I tell you what, when we had our kitchen before the remodel, it was actually set up pretty nice where they had all the cabinets had drawers in them. So you'd open the cabinet door and you could pull a drawer out full extension. It was nice. I mean, I highly recommend that. But we didn't have enough. We didn't have enough space and the cabinets didn't go to the ceiling.
It was very common to
have. Yeah, they stopped short.
Yeah, it's very common to have either a soffit built in above the cabinets and then install 26-inch cabinets, or just stop them short of the ceiling and have a space between the cabinets and the top of the ceiling.
With a little, where you could put all your chickens.
Right, right. Like a little shelfy kind of thing up there. But full height cabinets, maximizing the space. I think that people think sometimes, well, I can't reach that, so I'm not going to use it. Well,
you're going to use it.
There are things that you don't need to be able to reach from the ground because you get to them seldom enough that it's not a hassle to use a step stool to get to it. But that storage is paramount.
Oh, yeah. We did that. We put all the way to the ceiling, got rid of those stupid soffits. And all of that space up there is all full. And like you said, it's not stuff we use every day.
Right.
But I go get a little step stool. I actually have one of those little grippers. You know, those squeeze grippers that you see people picking up trash with?
Sure, of course.
I bought one of those, and I can reach almost anything. I can grab almost anything on the top shelf because the grips on those things are really strong.
Wow, interesting.
So I can grab that olive oil that's up on the top shelf. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't have to worry about it. But not having that space, not having the storage, it's well worth it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Next one on the list, Tony, full extension pantry and cabinet doors. I think I already mentioned that, but having the old, you know, you remember back in the day, the old school cabinet drawers, you would pull them out and they would stop at a certain point.
Yeah, like 3/4 or so.
So you had to like
25 or 33% of the drawer, 25% right, of the drawer
back
was
behind.
Still underneath the countertop. Yeah.
So you had to like reach back in there.
And you couldn't see very good. Yeah.
Yeah. So now full extension drawer slides. That's where it's at, in my opinion. I wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with you 100%. That's very smart.
All right. What's the next one?
Well, I feel like you said full extension pantry and cabinet drawers. It doesn't say pull out shelves. Did you say pull out shelves?
Well, yes and no.
I don't know if it's on this list, but it's something that's very, very important. All of my shelves on my base cabinets, everything below my countertop that's a shelf is not a shelf. It's a drawer, but it's behind doors.
Right.
So it's basically a pull out shelf, and those are full extension as well. So I can pull all of my shelves out, get at the stuff that's on them, push the shelves back in, close the doors. That my friend, is a must-have.
Yeah. Yeah, I did kind of mention that. I probably didn't explain it well enough, but yeah, getting on your hands and knees to see what's on those bottom shelves all the way back, you know, that popcorn maker from 1977, where you're like, oh, there it is.
Right, yeah.
The air pop.
Yeah.
Way in the back from the 80s.
The Walt Disney Mickey Mouse
waffle maker.
Waffle maker, yeah. From 1972.
That one has been on our countertop, I swear, for the last 12 years. all right, the next one on the list, Tony, is a pull-out trash and recycling bin.
Yeah, I'm jealous. You have one. You love it. I love it. My mom and dad have one, and I do not.
It's kind of, it's really nice because most of the time you see people have a trash can under their sink.
Yeah.
It's like the little short little, you know, maybe 20 inches tall.
That has to be emptied every 3 days.
Yeah, you put those little bags in it. And it's under your sink, so it's taking up all the space for your other things you want to keep down.
Yeah.
Like cleaning supplies and
yeah.
and whatnot. I have one. It's a double. You pull it open, and it's got trash can, recycling bin right there. And when you close it, it's totally hidden away. I love it. I think it's a must-have.
Yep, I agree with you. It is a must-have. And I must add it to my kitchen.
Yeah, do it.
I just don't have the space really for it. I'll have to sacrifice something probably.
Yeah, you need a dedicated cabinet for it.
Yeah. Under cabinet lighting. It is definitely a must have. My house didn't come with under cabinet lighting. I had to add it, and I did a sort of aftermarket thing. And it's, you know, it's not as user-friendly as I would like for it to be. I have to sort of switch it on, reach up underneath there and switch it on and switch it off. Ideally, it would come on with other lights. You know, what you've got, of course, in your kitchen is very nice. I'm happy to have what I have, but I need to upgrade it. I need to make it a little bit better.
Yeah, lighting in a kitchen is so important. And having like LED light strips under your cabinets, it not only gives you a really nice ambiance, but it also lights up your countertop. So
your workspace.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. You see everything. So I think in this day and age, LED under cabinet lighting, dimmable is a must have.
Yeah. Interesting. Very
dimmable.
Interesting.
That's the key.
I agree. You got to have lighting there. I haven't had a chance to play with dimmable, but it sounds very nice.
Well, it is, you know, and I've talked about this before. I have my kitchen set up on Lutron Casita switches that are tied to my home kit, so I can tell Siri. I can just say, hey, dim the lights in the kitchen down to 10%, you know, or whatever. And I can create these scenes, and it's kind of nice. Like after dinner, you dim those way down. They kind of act like almost like night lights.
Like mood lighting.
Yeah, so all the lights are on. The only things that are on are these really dim under cabinet lights. So you know, walk in, you can still see. Not stub your toes.
Yeah, nice.
But all right, next one on the list is durable countertops. And I say durable because if I feel like it changes so often. You know, granite was the king back in the day, and then quartz kind of came up, and now granite's kind of coming back. So I just say durable, solid surface. There's some really, really cool products out there made with other things, glass, concrete. I mean, they're coming up with new stuff all the time, but I think getting away from that old laminate that you can't put hot stuff on, you can't
right.
cut on it, you can't do anything with it.
Right.
Because it damages so easily.
Yep.
It's a good option if you're on a budget.
On a really tight budget.
Yeah. I'm not going to discount that because that is a good option for laminate countertops. But if you're redoing it, you got the money, in your budget, I would definitely go with a solid surface, durable countertop.
That's a good tip. The next one on the list, Corey, is proper ventilation. I'm telling you, we should have put this at the top. There are very few things that are as important as being able to properly ventilate your kitchen. Corey, have you ever got up in the morning and grabbed your jacket that was draped over the back of the dining room chair? And you put it on and it smelled like bacon or some other fried food.
Sounds amazing.
It's not. Believe me when I tell you, it's not. If your kitchen is not properly ventilated, then clothes around the area can take on the smell of the food that you cook. And walking around smelling like a deep fried tater tot is not the way to do it.
Chicken nuggy.
You want to have proper ventilation for your range hood, for your microwave, for your air fryer. And all of that is very, very important. Lots of smells in the kitchen. You want to get them out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and smoke and grease and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
One thing, you've told the story on the show many times, but when you volunteer firefighted, you had a situation where there was a range hood
mm-hmm.
that vented into the attic.
That's correct.
So,
and a lot of range hoods do vent up through the cabinet above and into the attic space, but then is turned on a 90 and vented outside.
Right
which
there. Is what you're supposed to do. It's very important to vent that to the exterior. They do have vent hoods that recycle the air, that basically filter it. So it draws it up and then filters it and pumps that filtered air right back into the room.
Right.
If you don't have the ability.
Charcoal filters.
Yeah, to vent, direct vent. But it's important not to allow what the situation Tony had, because they had a situation where they had a grease fire. They turned on the fan and it sucked the flames up into the attic where years of grease had been piling up from the vent hood.
Yeah, because the pipe, the pipe that was on there that would direct all that to outside was disconnected.
Right.
And so that grease and that flame and all of that went right into the insulation, and that thing went up like a matchstick.
Crazy. So proper ventilation. I mean, not just having good, but proper is part of that.
Absolutely.
Next one on the list is durable flooring. You know, I thought when I did my kitchen, I was going to put in hardwoods. So we went with these engineered hickory hardwoods, and they looked amazing for probably 2 years. And then over the years, the dogs and the kids and the chairs and all of the things.
And the spills.
Yep. It just, now they look so worn that I hate them.
Yeah.
They don't look good. I'm going to have to get them refinished. We did get hardwoods. They're engineered, but the top surface is like a quarter of an inch thick.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that you can
allows
get them,
for.
Yeah, you can get them sanded down up to 2 times.
Oh, okay.
So I think we're probably going to do that in the next few years, maybe after the kids are maybe a little bit gone out of the house.
Update
I don't know.
Update the stain color maybe a little bit.
Yeah, totally. We can do that. But going for, like, if I were to do it again, I would do LVP.
Yeah, that's what I've got in my house. It's a really great product. It was super easy to install. The price point is great, and it's durable.
It is indestructible.
Yep, absolutely durable. Waterproof, absolutely waterproof. It's a great product. I mean, I really love it. The fact that it is probably the number one flooring product used today doesn't even take away from it. You know, I have been, Corey, into several places over the last 5 years and seen the flooring color and style that I chose for my house in other spaces, commercial spaces, you know, other people's spaces. It's very popular color, which means it's not unique, but I'll tell you what, it looks good. It performs well. And it was a great choice, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, if I were to do it over, I would do LVP. I grew up in a house where we had ceramic tile. That was very common. But ceramic tile, you know, you drop a glass.
It's broken.
Oh, it's broke.
It's broke.
LVP, I mean, you could drop a glass from
height. 4 feet, 5 feet, yeah.
And it probably won't break.
I've dropped many glasses.
Depending
that
didn't
on
break. How it lands.
Yeah.
You know? I think you have a better chance of it not breaking, definitely, on LVP. Ceramic tile? Broke. Yeah. Maybe even a broken ceramic tile.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're really up
sure.
a creek.
Yeah.
All right, kind of moving on. These are some other things that are probably not as, I wouldn't say must-haves, but would be nice. Like an appliance garage.
Yeah, appliance garages are cool. I mean, you know, the original appliance garages sort of had like a, I don't know if you remember this.
Like the roll top.
Like a roll up door. Yeah. I mean, that's probably a little passe, but appliance garages, I think, can be very cool. If you don't have it and you don't have the space for it, then they end up on the counter. And I don't think you want to have a kitchen that just is displaying your tools.
Yeah, that's basically what it boils down to. If you've got an air fryer and you've got all the things, you know, a toaster oven and a
countertop,
whatever.
Countertop
a
microwave.
Blender.
Yeah.
You got
a
all
mixer.
Those things
yeah.
that you use. Everybody's using these things now. The air fryers, I swear, all of our friends have them. They all have them on the counters, and you walk in, and it's just loaded with appliances. And having an appliance garage is just nice because it hides them away.
Yep, I agree with that.
Next one, this is a built-in microwave. You said microwave. When we redid our kitchen, that was one thing that I wanted. I wanted a dedicated spot for the microwave overhead so it wasn't sitting on the countertop. Because our kitchen is large, but our counter space is limited. It's kind of weird that way. And being able to get that microwave up and then have space under it for actual countertop space is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, we did the opposite. We moved ours down.
That's right. You
so,
did.
We bought a cabinet that would hold the microwave under the countertop between two banks of drawers. And we have to bend over. But I don't think of it as having to bend over. I mean, we bend over all the time.
You get to bend over.
Yeah, bending over to put something in and take something out of the microwave, in my opinion, is not a hassle. I'm glad to have it down there. I mean, it's not any worse, in my opinion, than having to work overhead or not be able to see into the microwave, the stuff that you're heating up. So from above, you can see in there really well.
I tell you what, they actually make microwaves that have drawers.
I've seen them
under the cabinet.
I know it. I've seen them. They're very cool.
The drawer opens all the way up and you don't have, I mean, those are kind of cool. We have a little vacation house and we put an under cabinet microwave in there, but it doesn't have the drawer. It's just like kind of like what you have, but it's a built in. It's meant for that space.
Yeah, it seems very cool. I think a microwave with a drawer would be very cool.
Yeah. Next one on the list, pot filler.
Yeah, another one I don't have. But
I don't either.
I would like it. I have, of course, a faucet that has a head that comes off. It has a long hose that pulls out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a pot filler. But being able to just set it down on the counter, turn the pot filler on, and move to the next thing for the next, you know, minute and a half or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It seems very convenient.
Yeah, I mean, carrying a couple gallons of water over in a large pot from the sink, you know, if you're doing some crab
right.
or some, I don't
yep,
know, whatever.
Absolutely. Whatever. No, if you're just boiling potatoes. I mean, if you're boiling potatoes, you have to get the pot, you have to fill it up at the sink, you have to carry it over to the range. Yeah, it's
a convenience.
It's convenient.
Having a pot filler. Next one on the list is a large kitchen sink.
Goes without saying.
Yeah.
A small kitchen sink doesn't get anybody anywhere.
No. And I'm in the single sink camp. Where are you?
Yep.
Do you like having two separate sinks?
I did for a lot of years. I did. They each have their benefits and drawbacks, but I definitely have one large tub sink.
Yeah. I don't understand the point of having two. You know, back when we washed dishes before we had a dishwasher, it was nice to have two so that way you'd fill one up with the dish water and then be able to put the clean ones into the empty one and rinse them off. I mean, that was nice. But now that we have a dishwasher, I mean, having the large open tub sink, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think that having two segregated sinks, the big tub sink, sometimes you have small glasses that end up on the bottom and then something else goes in that's larger. And it's kind of, you know, on top of it. It just, you know, you end up, unless you're doing the dishes at every moment, if you're collecting some things in a big in a big sink. Sometimes smaller things end up underneath heavy things. It's, you know, it can be troublesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, keeping, having a smaller sink for some smaller things and a bigger sink for some bigger things. But I'm with you.
You
big
have a
sink.
Separate dish sink.
Mm-hmm. Instahot is a very good thing to have. I have Instahot. You have Instahot.
I love mine.
I like to use it. I like to use it all the time. I feel like there's not a week that goes by that I haven't used the Instahot. It gets used all the time.
We use ours probably every day, almost every day, I would mm-hmm. say, because I make espresso in the morning, and instead of boiling hot water or using the hot water on the espresso machine, because it chews up the water pretty fast.
Sure, sure.
I use the hot water right out of the Instahot.
Smart.
And it's hot enough for me. I love it. And the other thing that my wife does is we're making dinner. We'll make vegetables a lot and boil them and whatnot. And we'll put, to make it faster, we'll use the Instahot to fill up the pot.
Sure.
Put that on the stove and it's boiling within.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 minute.
20 seconds. Oh, yeah, yeah. Fast.
Yeah.
30 seconds. So a little quick tip there for you. Water filtration system. This is one that I have in my refrigerator.
As do I.
And I think it's dumb. It doesn't work very well. I mean, it works well, but it's, there's not very much cold water in it anyway. And it kind of just takes up space. I want to do a separate water filtration system that you can go to and have chilled cold water. We drink so much water in our house. It's crazy. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I think that the water dispenser in our refrigerator works good for us. I mean, it works good for me. I do drink a lot of water as well, but mine works okay. You know, we've drink Oregon water. So, I mean, tap waters might as well be filtered water as far as I'm concerned. Tap water tastes great.
We're in Beaverton, and our tap water is a little chloriney.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, if that's a word, chloriney.
I don't know. Might be my tap water out in the boonies where we live.
Are you in a well?
No, it's city water.
City water.
Yeah, but it's really good. Very, very good.
Yeah,
I love it. I want for anything more.
I don't care for ours. So filtered is where it's at for us.
Gotcha.
But getting it out of the fridge, I don't know. Maybe it's just our fridge. It does not have the cold water. Like, you could get one glass of cold water out of it. That's it.
And then everything after that's warmer.
Yeah. And it almost feels warmer than out of the tap because it's coming, like, through the machinery on the fridge or something. It warms it up. I don't know. It's weird.
That is weird.
I don't like it. All right, next one on the list. Oh, this is a definite must-have, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure.
Soft close, hinges and drawers. When you're choosing your hardware, it's not very expensive just to get the soft close stuff, and I would highly recommend it. Even if you have a remodel, if you're using your existing hardware and you don't have soft close, there are attachments you can buy to make them soft close. So I would definitely make that decision.
Yeah, soft closed doors and drawers are a must, in my opinion.
I agree. Next one on the list, Tom.
A quiet dishwasher. I wouldn't know. I don't have one.
You don't have a dishwasher?
I have a dishwasher.
Oh.
But it's not quiet.
Oh, you don't have a quiet dishwasher.
I don't have a quiet dishwasher. I have a loud dishwasher.
Oh, man. There is nothing better than throwing your dishes in there, turning it on, and you don't even know it's running. Our dishwasher is so quiet, you cannot tell. There's a light that shines on the floor. That's the only way you know it's running, unless you put your ears right up to it. The thing is super quiet.
Yeah, that's cool. I have a regular dishwasher that's regular sound, and I can hear it.
Sounds like it's gonna take off.
Well, I mean, it's not terrible, but
it's like a Black Hawk helicopter.
It's definitely not quiet. You know, the way I would describe quiet. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, is since our kitchen is very close to our living room, our first dishwasher that we had, I mean, you couldn't even watch TV. The thing was just like, rah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Cranking the volume up on the TV just so you can
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Who started the dishwasher on movie night?
Well, and then you think, well, let's just start it before we go to bed. But then you'd hear it all the way in the bedrooms, and it was annoying.
Wow.
So out went that one. In came the
gone are the days. That's good.
All right, last one on the list here, Tony, and this one's really easy. Choose a cabinet and put vertical dividers in it for your baking sheets and cutting boards.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. Those can be challenging if you're stacking them on top of each other and then you decide that you want the one that's on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so vertical divider is a good idea.
Yep, that was one that when we had our kitchen designer, when they did ours, he mentioned that. And I'm like, man, that's a great idea. We did it and we love it. So in my opinion, it's definitely a must have.
Must have.
All right, let's jump into the bathroom, Tony. Master bath remodel. What are some of the top things that are must haves?
Well, number one for me when I remodeled my master bathroom was to get two sinks. We had one sink that we were sharing, and which made it impossible for us to be in the bathroom at the same time, which meant that one of us had to go in there and get ready first, and then the other one would come in after. And so it's nice to have two vanities now so that we can both be brushing our teeth or washing our hands or doing our makeup or whatever at the same time.
Yeah. You put on a lot of makeup?
I don't know, but it happens in front of the mirror there.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. if space allows, obviously. When we remodeled our master bathroom, we didn't have space for two sinks. I tried to do it. I designed every which way I could, and there's just not enough space. But what I did do is make the vanity as large as I possibly could. So I was able to put the sink in, and then there's lots of room on both sides. There's just not enough room for two.
Right.
And it worked out. Works out great. Next one on the list, Tony, this is a big one these days.
Yeah, mine is.
Is a walk-in shower. Yeah, yes. Your shower is ginormous.
Absolutely. It was the biggest shower pan that I could buy. It's 4 foot by 5 foot, 20 square feet.
That's crazy.
20 square feet in my shower.
Yeah, that's nice.
It is very nice. And I'm a big guy. And the shower that I've been using for the last, almost 20 years, I would hit my elbows and my shoulders, and I would, constantly be knocking shampoo off of the little shelves in there. It was just too small for me, and it made it difficult to relax and enjoy the process of
showering.
Yeah. But getting now clean. I can do calisthenics in the shower and not touch anything. I can do jumping jacks in there and not touch anything.
You're doing bathroom shower squats.
I mean, I'm not, because I'll end up on my back, but I'm just saying that I can. There's a lot of space.
Don't do jumping jacks.
A lot of space in my walk-in
shower.
Two shower heads, one on each end of the shower, and also a rain head in the center.
Nice.
And I have realized my dream.
Water blast.
It is an unbelievable, awesome experience showering in my shower.
Yeah, I mean, multiple shower heads. You have a built-in seat.
Have a built-in step for, for toes. If you're, washing your ankles or cleaning your toes, you can put your foot up and work on that space. It's not a seat. I don't have a seat, but a foot perch or something.
My wife demanded to have at least a step, so she could shave her legs.
Right. Yep. That's what mine is, and it works out really good.
The number two on that on my list for the shower is large niches. If you're like us, you shop at Costco or Sam's Club or whatever, and you go buy the shampoo bottles. You know, at Costco they make them like 24 inches tall. Shampoo bottles are gigantic from Costco, and a lot of the new ones coming out are following suit. They just have these huge bottles. And the old niches, those old niches, you put the shampoo bottle in there and it doesn't even fit. So when you're going to design your bath, your shower, make room for larger, taller bottles and make room for more stuff. Because especially if you've got kids that use your bathroom and you've got their shampoo and their face wash and my face wash and my wife's face wash and all of these things in there, and shampoo and conditioner and soaps and potions. Gotta have enough room. Gotta have enough niches.
I had to reframe mine because I went and got the biggest shampoo bottle I could find, and I measured it, and I said, okay, it needs to be this size. And so I framed it out big enough to hold the biggest shampoo bottle I could find. And then I added half inch tile backer to the top and the bottom. And then I added half inch tile to the top and the bottom. And I very quickly lost 2 inches in that niche. And it ended up too small to hold what I felt like it needed to hold. And I had to tear it apart and reframe it.
Yeah. That's what I would say, is take the largest bottle you can find and add 4 inches to that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like you said, you add all that tile backer and you add the tile, and you lose enough anyway, and then the next thing you know, Costco's coming out with the 28-inch tall bottle.
Yep, yep, you're right. Good tip.
Staying in the shower, I'll tell you what, is this is a new one that I'm seeing on a ton of new houses, is a zero clearance threshold shower. It means that the shower is flush with the bathroom floor, almost ADA compliant, if you will. And to achieve that is actually pretty difficult, because you have to frame the shower portion lower so you can create the pan and the buildup of all of the things that you need to do to put the tile in there. So it's not something that you can easily do as a remodel, for instance, especially if you've got an old house like I do. I've got this 1977 post and beam construction house. There's no way I could do a zero clearance shower in mine without major remodel. I mean, I'd have to tear the floor out and then frame that entire section lower, probably pour some pads in there, drop some new beams. You could do it. It could happen, but it would be a task. So definitely consider that maybe in a new construction or an addition is a zero threshold shower.
Yeah. I do like the next one on the list there is a linear drain. I do like that. It's a very cool look. They didn't have that in the size of pan that I wanted.
In your gigantic pan?
Yep. So I went without it, but I do like the look of that, and I think it would be nice.
Yeah. And then, of course, glass shower doors. I think that is getting rid of the old shower curtain. You know, I don't know if anybody's using shower curtains with newer stuff these days, but if you are, I think glass showers is where it's at, and that is a must have on my list.
Must have.
And this one, Tony, the last one on the list for the shower is already, you already said it, rain shower head with detachable.
That's right. Yep. Rain shower head with detachable shower heads.
Show me heads.
I have two, one at each end and the rain head in the middle. And you know what, Corey? I get in the shower and oftentimes I only use the rain head.
Really?
I stand right underneath the rain head. It's a 12 inch by 12 inch. That puts a lot of water out without the need to even have either of the two other other two shower heads on.
That's awesome. So I feel like you're singing in the rain.
Yeah, it's nice. I do like it.
If you've got the room, a soaking tub is very popular. I don't have one. I don't have the room, obviously. And I don't know how much I would use one. You did it.
Yep.
You installed one. Yep. What do you think?
My wife loves to take a bath.
So it's a must have.
Yeah, she absolutely loves it. I mean, I would say since we finished the bathroom remodel, she's used it maybe 4 times. So it's not something that gets used every week or even every 2 weeks necessarily, when she wants it, it's nice to have.
Yeah. Next one on the list, Tony, and I'm kind of mad about this one because I struggled with this. I was going to do it, and then I ended up not doing it because I couldn't easily and cost-effectively do this, which is heated floors.
Yeah.
And if you've listened to the show at all over the last few years, I talked about my bathroom remodel forever. And when it came right down to it, I had to run a dedicated wire back to my electrical panel to run a dedicated circuit to this location. And to get wire from my bathroom to my electrical panel would have been very difficult. I would have had to have cut ceilings out and walls of areas just because of where my panel is located. If it was in an exterior wall or something like that, it probably would have been a lot easier, but it totally stunk and I didn't want to do it because it was going to, my budget would have ballooned big time just to get that one wire. But if you have the ability to install heated floors, they're not that difficult and they're amazing. Having a heated floor in the cold months.
Yeah. We installed a heated floor in my mother-in-law's master bathroom, and it's luxurious, no doubt. We certainly could have done it in our master bathroom remodel, but my wife said, I don't need it. It's nice at my mom's house, but I don't need it.
Well, your master bathroom is on the second floor, too.
That's correct. So it's got a warm floor.
Yeah, my master bath is on a post and beam, so directly under that is...
The ground outside. Yeah.
I mean, it's not as cold as it is, but that floor gets pretty chilly in there, especially with tile underfoot. Next one on the list, Tony, is, again, ample storage. Everybody wants to have somewhere to put all their shampoos, extra toilet paper, towels, all of the things. You need to have somewhere to put them. I've gone into bathrooms before. You know, you've seen those racks where there's like 20 rolls of toilet paper stacked in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't like having that. I like to be able to stash it away behind a nice cabinet. And what's funny, in our master bath remodel, there was a wall and then there was this cabinet, or our master bath backs up to our hall bath.
Oh, sure.
And in our hall bath, we actually remodeled that one before the master, and the tub, it was like a 6-foot tub, right? And then between the tub and the walls, an 8-foot room, they just blocked it in. It's just empty space.
Unused space.
Unused empty space. So in the hall bath, I cut that out. I built a little cabinet, slid it in there, and it's perfect. It's got like 6 shelves in it for towels and candles and the works. And then on the other side, our toilet is there, but above the toilet, I did the same exact thing, except that I put a door on it. So now I have this cabinet behind, above my toilet in that wall, that we can store tons of stuff. So then, and I found that just empty space. There's nothing there.
It's very cool. That's like finding money in the pockets of your clothes that came out of the dryer. It's like finding laundry money.
Yeah, that is kind of fun.
Laundry money is fun. The next one on the list, Corey, natural light, which I don't have in my bathroom per se. I do have very nice natural light in my closet. I have a window in my closet. But you have a sun tunnel.
Yeah.
In your closet and in your bathroom. Both. In your bathroom and in your closet. And you tell me that it is absolutely the bomb.
They are great. So in our hall bath, we have a nice big window, you know, a 2030 window. Lets in tons of light. It's great. But yeah, in our master bathroom / master closet, so I have that closet, there was nothing. It was a cave in there. You know, you turn off the lights and it was black as black could be. You could not see anything. So I put a couple sun tunnels that go, they're almost like skylights, but they're like flexible tubing that come down to a light diffuser that's in the ceiling. And it just captures light, brings it down that little shiny tunnel and disperses it into your room as natural light. And I have one in my shower and one in my closet. And I don't even need to turn on the lights most of the time when I go in there now.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal. I love it.
I love the color of natural light compared to, you know, maybe the bulbs that I've chosen. And I understand now with LED bulbs, you can get bulbs that are more like natural light. But I do like the color of natural light.
Yeah.
And the feel of it.
You know, and honestly, if you can't get natural light, the next one on the list is high quality lighting. you want to incorporate, you know, ambient light with accent lighting and things like that, but make sure that you have a nice quality light around your mirrors. Your wife, I'm sure, absolutely loves having light that's not overhead.
Right.
You know, you got to have light that's that shines on the face.
Right.
For when they're putting on makeup or looking at yourself in the mirror. If you have just one light overhead, it's casting shadows down onto your face and it looks terrible. So high quality lighting in the bathroom, I think, is a must because that's where you're getting ready and you want to put your best foot forward when leaving.
Yes. We went with sconces between the mirrors, which worked really good.
That's what we did too. Oh, next one on the list, upgraded fixtures. Don't chintz out. You know, the faucets, your shower heads, your hardware, all of that stuff, you're going to be using them literally every day. And if you buy the cheapest ones on the market, you're going to tell. That's in my experience.
I'll tell you what, they can get expensive.
Oh, yeah.
They absolutely can get expensive. And you may be able to go overboard there. But Delta is a great brand. And that's what I put in my shower and on my sinks. And I'm really happy with it. But, I mean, it was not cheap. It was not cheap.
Yeah.
And there is cheap out there, like you said. You can go out and get cheap. But when it's holding my water back from flooding my house, I don't want to chintz out on that. I want it to do a really, really good job.
Yeah, me too. Next one on the list, Tony, is towel warmers.
Yes, I don't know about this. This is an experience that I've had in my lifetime.
I wouldn't call it an absolute must-have, but it is pretty nice to be able to throw your towel on the warmer and get out of the shower and have it nice and toasty.
Toasty.
And the other thing is when you have a wet towel, like after you've dried yourself, you throw it on the towel warmer and it dries your towel off very quickly.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
So, and it's like a little heater. Heats your bathroom up nicely.
Towel warmer. That's going to be the next thing you add to your bathroom.
Maybe not. I mean, if given the opportunity and I had in this bathroom, I couldn't just because same reason.
The power problem. Yeah.
Last couple ones on the list here, Tony, tile work, tiles on the walls, floors, shower. I like tile and I think it looks
visual interest. Well, you've seen my shower tile.
Yeah.
It's visually interesting. I really love the dynamic pattern that we've got in the master shower now. And, it looks absolutely stunning in my opinion. So that is a good tip.
Yeah. Last couple ones here. This one's kind of funny, but not funny. A bidet.
Yeah, bidet. And you know what? This doesn't have to set you back.
No, and I'm not talking about a separate bidet. You know, the fancy
dual toilets sitting side by side.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that. A bidet toilet seat is amazing. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I wonder if, have you used one that has heated water?
I never have.
I mean, people talk about them and they say it's really the way.
I tell you what though, the cold water, can't even tell. I think you can't even tell.
Mm.
And it works fantastic.
Well, I mean, I'm a believer. I do like the way that it cleans the undercarriage. It works as described and it's refreshing.
Yeah.
And I like it.
100%.
Yeah.
Worth every penny.
Talk to me about a tankless water heater. You and I have dabbled and dabbled and dabbled with the thought of maybe moving in that direction. Retrofitting a tankless water heater might not be the most efficient way to go, but if you're building new, it should definitely be a consideration.
I agree. I had my plumber came out and I talked to him about the whole situation because I had to replace my water heater. And I said, hey, you know, we're running out of hot water. There's four of us now. I have a daughter. And when we're getting ready in the mornings and showers, by the time I get my shower in, there's no hot water left. And I said, having a tankless would be amazing. And he said, for the cost that it would take to install it. Plus, there's something to do with recirculation. So you have to get the benefits. You have to run pipe and all this stuff. And he said it wasn't worth it. That I should just go with the one-up size. So I went with a larger water tank.
They gave you more hot water on demand. Yeah.
And that was better for my situation than what I have. But he said building new, definitely go with a tankless. They're more efficient. You know, you're not just heating water and leaving it in a tank to sit there and cool down and then reheat and then cool down.
Right.
So, but, and on top of that, you can take an hour-long shower.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll stay warm. The very last item on the list here, Corey, probably should have been at the top. No one on this planet, anywhere, should have a bathroom without an automatic bath fan.
Yeah. I mean, most bathrooms, I mean, by code, you have to have ventilation, you have to have a bath fan, but how many people remember to turn them on? How many kids remember to walk in and turn the bath fan on? And you're not only supposed to have it on while you shower, but you're supposed to run it for 30 minutes after your shower.
Right.
You want to draw all that moisture out, because all that moisture is doing is soaking into your walls, soaking in it everywhere, creating must, mildew, and it's not good.
No, it's bad.
Creates problems.
Yep, you want to get it out ASAP.
So installing an automatic bath fan, where I have the ones I have, they are motion detected. So as soon as you walk in, it runs for 30 minutes, as soon as it detects motion. And or, and that's a setting, you can set that for whatever you want. But the other one is it has a moisture sensing in it.
Smart.
So it senses the humidity level in the room, and it will run until that humidity level drops below a certain percent. And you can set that as well. So if you live in Florida and it's 99% humidity,
it'll be running 24/7.
Right.
So you always can adjust that. Trying to get that out of the air. Yeah.
You can adjust that down. But the point is, when you take a shower, you don't have to remember. It's just going to do it for you. It's going to, you know, get rid of that moisture that's in the air. And your bathroom, everything will smell better, and you won't have as much mildew. And
having it come on with the light seems like the right way to go. If the light comes on, the fan comes on, and it runs for 30 minutes, then you know you're not having to worry about remembering to turn it on, or the kids remembering to turn it on. That is definitely the way to go. That's a great tip.
All right, well, that's all we've got. Top things in the bathroom and the kitchen that you should do on your next remodel. Thanks so much for listening. If you know anybody doing a bath remodel or a kitchen remodel, forward them this podcast.
Absolutely.
Hit that like and subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
Have a great week.